to the last of the 2009-2010 Downtown Library Noon Hour Lecture Series, in which we have been and continue, we will continue to imagine Buffalo Niagara in the 21st century. Dennis Galecki is my name, and on behalf of the our sponsor and our host, first of all, the Downtown Central Library, as well as our sponsor, the Center for the Study of Art, Architecture, History, and Nature, we welcome you. Now, the center very simply was designed, it's a digital enterprise that was designed to help link volunteers and lifelong learning communities. And if you notice, all year long, we've invited, starting off with our mayors of Buffalo and Niagara Falls, and we're most pleased to see the Honorable Paul Deister, Mayor of Niagara Falls, in our audience today. We invited them and then leaders of institutions that are involved, I would call them as lifelong learning centers. These would be Canisius College, the Community Foundation of Greater Buffalo, UB, the Birchfield and the Albright Knox, the Martin House, people who are leading the various lifelong learning communities in our region that, as you've heard me say, I think we are just extremely blessed with, at this point in our history, wonderful leaders in this field. And part of that linkage exists in the communications field. So we had Don Boswell with WNED, and today, as you know, we will be looking and hearing from the Buffalo News. My starting point, though, is we have given three recognition awards from this center. First, to Chuck Lacusa for his incredible effort as a volunteer to create a worldwide appreciation of Buffalo's architecture and history. I think that will go down as one of the great turning points when he helped us look at ourselves and now helps the rest of the world on the web see us as a great deposit of architecture and history. Then we had Bob Shibley from the University of Buffalo, because we all know how Bob has helped us see ourselves as a region, not just as a city. And then we had Charles Rand Penny. Here's a man that's collected incredible works of art from our region and then is wonderfully giving it back to the region. And he was honored for that. And our fourth recipient today, I would like to invite to come up, is Stan Lipsey. And Mr. Lipsey, if you could join us. All right, well.
This one page, that's all you
know? No, this is, this will either, well, this will be what it is. And it, Stan Lipsey has been the publisher of the Buffalo News since 1983. It's an interesting background, and it looking at the bios fills in some pieces for me, so I share them with you. He was asked to come to Buffalo in 1980 by a certain Warren Buffett. Earlier in 1969, Stan Lipsey had sold out the Omaha Sun newspapers, a series of dailies that had been that he had been editor of, sold them to Warren Buffett. And those that know his style, Warren Buffett's style, know he keeps the people in place that made a good enterprise. And so he did with Stan Lipsey, trusted him enough to invite him to come to Buffalo and then become the sixth publisher. And that goes back to 1880. So that is the Buffalo News story, University of Michigan grad, but really entered the newspaper business and has been there and is our good fortune to be here in Buffalo. That's the newspaper side of it. I want to pass out a book, Affinity of Form, that was published last year. Just glance through this, the photography of helping us see ourselves, the shapes, the nature, the art, architecture, even the history and nature, it's perfectly demonstrated in this book. So glance at it, and you'll know what I'm speaking about there. And finally, I can't imagine all the behind-the-scenes work that Mr. Lipsey does that none of us will ever really know, that has helped make the community as good as it is, as good as it is. Certainly, I'm just in a minor way aware of the efforts to energize governors and their thinking with regard to the Richardson Complex, and I can only imagine other preservation efforts that have, behind the scenes, Mr. Stan Lipsey's mark on them. So it is with that recognition that we simply would, and it is just that, simply give our humblest thanks to the Center, honor Stanford Lipsey for his extraordinary contributions to the cultural heritage of Buffalo, Niagara. Stan,
thank you.
This is this. And our little memento that we give to, we've been giving to our first year speakers and awardees, is a silver peace dollar, my shiny one. This one from 1922. Yes, 22 or 23, we've been giving that series out. And it's a simple way of, again, simply saying, remind Buffalo at a wonderful point. The Great Lakes cities were all at a high water mark, if you will, in the 20s. The image that you see from the Buffalo Savings Bank building on that, we've been using as an image to represent the arts. That was painted right around just after this coin was issued. So it's sort of a remembrance of all that. On behalf of all of us here today, again, a small token of our appreciation.
Dennis, thank you so very much.
Now, our featured speaker today is Margaret Sullivan. And Margaret has that wonderful American story of this area. It comes from Lackawanna. Was the editor of the Narden High School newspaper, ended up going from internship to editor-in-chief in a 19-year period, as I recall. Graduate of Georgetown University, master's from Northwestern University, Medill School of Journalism, with honors. Interesting, has served on the Pulitzer Prize as a juror four times, was a reporter for the New York Times, so she brings that, covering local issues at one time, and then became editor-in-chief, again, of a 130-year-old newspaper, and I'm going to say this. I know the first woman. I think the sixth editor-in-chief. Good. That's over a 130-year period. So I wish to both congratulate and welcome Margaret Sullivan to help us imagine Buffalo, Niagara in the 21st century, especially through the eyes of all that is going on in the field of journalism and newspapers. Margaret, take the podium.
Thank you, Dennis, and thanks to those of you who are here. I want to mention that I'm very fond of libraries, and I feel very comfortable in libraries. I did grow up in Lackawanna, and my hangout, one of my hangouts, was the Lackawanna Library, where I made great friends with the librarians who actually tried to recruit me to be a librarian as my career, but I had other ideas. So I am always very comfortable and happy to be in the library, and I think it's a wonderful place. And I know that libraries, just like newspapers, are going through all sorts of challenges as communication changes, and I think this one is a great example of one that's changing with the times, and you can see it everywhere. I have done a fair amount of public speaking in my time as editor, And I find that it's a lot more fun for everyone if I don't just stand up here endlessly and rattle on. So I will ask you to, I do have some prepared remarks about the future of journalism in a challenging time, but I would also very much ask you to think of some questions or comments that you might have, and let's sort of have a little bit of interactivity and participation. I would very much appreciate that because it's more fun for everybody. So, and I would also say that I'm happy to address and answer your questions about a variety of subjects. We can talk about, for example, the Sabres prospects in the coming season. I'm up to date on that. Whether Bass Pro will ever get built. What to put in the cooler for the Super Bowl when the Bills finally get there. And why your delivery person keeps throwing your paper in the bushes. We can handle all of those subjects and more. But within the context of this series, which is to look at the future of Buffalo Niagara, I want to take a little bit more of a micro look at the future of journalism in Western New York, and in fact throughout the country, because we are very much in a changing time. So let's get the wide perspective first. In the year 2010, the world of newspaper journalism is scarily uncertain. The internet has changed the world of information more than anything since Gutenberg invented the printing press in the 15th century. It's impossible to overstate the magnitude of that change or the way it has affected the newspaper industry. Certainly, if you were setting up a media company today, you would not include massive printing presses, delivery trucks, 14 unions, and huge rolls of newsprint. You would probably get an office and a bunch of laptops and a dozen hungry reporters who know how to dig up a story but also know how to shoot video. I have to laugh a little grimly when I go out into the community and people tell me that the Buffalo News has no competition. It's true that Buffalo has only one daily newspaper, but the last time I looked, there were hundreds of cable TV channels, 600 million websites, two generations of people who don't read much, and a family structure in which nobody sits still for more than 10 minutes at a time, much less lingers over the newspaper at the breakfast table discussing the events of the day. Newspapers are the quintessential old media, and we are fighting for our lives. As Dennis mentioned, I come from Lackawanna, and I watched the steel mills die, so I don't take lightly these threats to a mature industry that once seemed indestructible. I know better. However, I'm resolutely optimistic about the future of newspapers